The Survivor Specialists are back, and today it is Survivor 46, Episode 9, Predictions and Power Rankings with Caleb Gebrewald from Survivor 45. It felt good. Did it come out good? Did it sound right?
You nailed it. Yeah, it's like we've been buddies for years.
Oh, man, brings a tear to my eye. Also, one of Time Magazine's best Survivor players of the new era. Here he is. I don't know how I landed you after that headline. I mean, how did your head, expand after that when you heard that you were in Time Magazine's best new era players?
My hair was a little smaller back then, but then it's grown three sizes. Yeah, that was one I put on my Insta. I was like, you know, it's like when you lied on the resume and you got the job, like that's how it felt a little bit. Like, you know, I definitely had some flashy moments, but at the same time, you're kind of like, have you seen some of these other players? You know, like, come on.
And you were on there, and there is Gabler was not on there. So a winner of the show, you are one of the best players of the new era, but Gabler is not on the list. So just had to tell you that.
What did he, I didn't know. I thought it was all winners were on there. And you know, I wonder what, wonder what was the final straw that broke him. You know what I mean? From not being
on. I know. Well, he didn't play his shot in the dark correctly. Get him out. He's done. That's it. We're done.
He was going to, though, in the pre-merge, right?
He was.
Yeah.
First tribal council. He wanted to play it. So
That close.
You were one of I'm looking at this now because I needed to bring this up to you because I brought it up to you when I actually saw you at one of the events recently. I was like, wait, Time Magazine. And I did mention how much I loved your tweet about that. You were one of two players from your season to make the list. The only one was D. So good job, Caleb. There you go.
Appreciate it. Yeah, you know, I'll never say no to good publicity. Yeah.
You know? Hey, and you know what? Being on Lulu and losing those challenges got you a whole bunch of screen time, and we kind of had a follow up to it right here at the start of 46, where now like Q has 53 confessionals, and they just showed Maria posted the minutes that have been out there for the confessional length, and right. I think she's at 352. And Q had 437 in the last episode. So sometimes when you just keep losing challenges, man, you're front and center.
You know, losing challenges, but, you know, also Q's just like this burning star right now. And it's almost like how hot can you burn for how long, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we're about to do the power rankings here. Is this one of those like, hey, let's get the Q content in before he's gone? Or is this just the way he's going to be playing it the rest of the way?
Yeah, so if you're sitting there and you're watching this, you just played on your last, you know, you played on the last season, season 45. So this is your first season watching after actually playing. You watch what Q does at last week's tribal. Sorry, I know last night, it's Sunday. Like, it's not even close to last night. What are you thinking now as somebody with a little experience on the island seeing that shake out? What's going through Q's head and how are you reacting if you're one of the other players?
You know, it's interesting when somebody like, so having in my own experience, I actually have a little bit of, you know, real life experience on Survivor 45, watching people say that they want to leave the game and quit. Right. And how do you want to react in that situation? And, you know, I am usually aligned with how Charlie was looking at it. Right. And some of the people on his side when they were saying, you know, he may want to go home, but that doesn't mean we have to send him there. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, if somebody is volunteering to go home, that's you're looking for any smoke screen you can have anyways to get out your target, right? Mm-hmm. So he can make as much noise as he wants. It was just so interesting to me as to why he did that. Why did he think he have to make the noise? That's the part I'm still trying to figure out. Like, what advantage was he hoping to gain?
And that's what I couldn't figure out. And he's been tweeting about it and he's been talking about it. And, you know, he's been saying all smiles for me or all of you are confused, but just watch or whatever. But like, was there an actual plan to this? Because clearly when you were at that first tribal council and Hannah said, we're not going to vote tonight. It was no, she really is quitting. She wants to leave the game. Like that was so apparent. But when it came to what Q was doing, it really didn't make much sense. And I saw one theory and I am not going to let Q Monday morning quarterback his way into this. So I got to bring it up here first. Uh-huh. I saw one theory where it was, he was trying to get all the votes on him so that Tiffany would play the idol on him and then he could vote Tiffany out. But if you're saying you're going to quit, why would Tiffany ever play the idol for you in that situation?
I don't think that that's probably like that. I don't buy into that theory. And the big reason is because, you know, it's one thing to be like, hey, I want to quit. I want to leave the game at the very beginning. But I don't think Q like sold his guts out Like, Hugh is one of the most, dominating players in the new era, you could probably say, right? In terms of how he wants to dictate the action. And it just feels like to me, if he really, really wanted to go home, that he might pitch it differently. He might have one-on-one conversations trying to push his agenda across. I feel like he was doing this as a game move. I still don't know the purpose of the game move, but I don't buy into the fact that he was he really wanted everyone to actually vote him out.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And so Q sells houses. You were doing software sales before you went out there, and that's pretty much what shot you in the foot, is that everybody said, oh, he's good. He's too good at this. I mean, if he's the number one realtor in Mississippi, he's got to be doing something right when he's trying to pitch things. And this did not feel like his best work, but it did cause such chaos at Tribal that did it work? Like, how are you viewing this? We had Brandon Donlan on to do our Digging Deeper episode on Thursday.
Yep.
And he was saying that Q is like the best casting choice they've made of any male in the new era. Not saying he's great at the game, but just insane all over the place. What are you taking away from this? Like, as a viewer, what are we supposed to be taking from this?
You know, the best theory I have right now as to why Q was doing this is that I really do think that he viewed this move of taking out Tevin as happening outside of, you know, where he wanted the game to go, right? And so if he's riding shotgun on a vote, or, you know, he's in the back seat, you know, that's just not it. I think it's just not enough presence for how he wants to play the game. And that's the thing about Q. Whatever you want to say, he's playing his strategy, right? Yeah. And I think he wants to have his hands around everything. So even though he didn't want Tevin to go home, I think by him having like this spectacle where he was the center of that tribal council, you know, he in some ways later on in the game can try and take more credit for that vote than he maybe actually deserved.
And so why do you think somebody like Q, because you played from kind of this, like, people are going to look at me, see me as threatening because I'm physical. I mean, on Lulu, you were the biggest guy there by far. Why do you think Q is so concerned about having the control over every single thing?
You know, it's interesting because if you look at the post-merge, or at least in Mergatory onwards, right? You know, it's interesting because Yanu has kind of been in this like ideal position since this game, like the second half of this game has started. They started off with all three of them being safe at the Mergatory feast, right? And that vote. They then go into a 6-6 split with, again, half of them all on the same tribe and having control over that vote again. I almost wonder if it's to the point now that, you know, they've been in this like comfier position for a while. You probably have a lot of that self-talk as to like, we've been playing this game since day one, like since minute one, Yanu's been going to tribal council. Like, these guys don't even know how to play the game compared to us. Like, I wonder if at this point Q is so, his confidence is to the point that he feels like he's walking on water. He can get away with everything. And that's why he has to have control, because that's been that's what's worked for him so far, even though in some ways he had some fortune break to allow him to play a little bit harder than maybe he should have at the beginning of the merge.
Yeah, because you look at now, Tiff and Kenzie are going home. And I don't think you had to do this type of damage control, but maybe you saw this type of damage control on your season from somebody else. What's the level of damage control that Q now has to do with Tiffany and Kenzie after Tiffany just found out from Charlie that Q told Charlie about the idol and Q's doing this whole shenanigans at Tribal? Is there a level that you saw on your season, or is it uncomparable and you're just praying for poor Q here?
It's uncomparable. You know, I don't want to, you know, leak too much of my power rankings here. But you have to imagine coming out of this tribal council, like Tiffany and Kenzie will never trust Q at a deep level again. They might work with him for a vote or two, but there's no way that they can actually see them like being open about their strategy the way they have been so far. So I imagine that especially Tiffany and Kenzie, who are actually like, I'm not taking anything away from Q, but they're probably some of the stronger social players on the beach, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to come in. They're probably going to be a lot more mad than they'll show him, and they'll try and make peace. But I don't think that peace is going to, last for very long. I think that, yeah.
It's going to be a fake peace. It's going to be, we'll appease you. Here's Mr. Manny. The level of damage control Q has to do is unfortunately not possible.
I think at this point now, he's already leaked the information about Tiffany. Tiffany's going to gun for him at some point. He needs to get out Tiffany at some point. Does it have to be this vote? Maybe not. But I think if I'm Q, you know, you're trying to make peace with them. But at the end of the day, you have to start pulling in either another pair or people on the fringes as early as possible to stop them from being able to take you out.
And we were talking about it on the recap. It was Alexa and I. So for anybody who didn't listen to that, Alexa came back. She made her grand return after being done, air quotes, after season 45. She made her grand return. It took a whole 8 episodes before she came back out. Exactly. So it was Alexa and I, and we actually talked about who would Q go to. And the initial reaction is, who is the person most on the outs? Well, that's Venus. But 2 episodes ago, we saw Q and Venus not be able to come together on a vote because Venus didn't want to vote the way Q wanted. And Q was like, well, Venus, big mistake, huge mistake, like done.
Cancel Christmas.
Yeah. Cancel Christmas. Is there anything, if not Venus, then who, I guess, is what my question is.
Yeah. I mean, we're at such an interesting point in the game because I don't know how you see it, but I see it as kind of 3 pairs that are in the game right now, right?
Yep.
I think you have Q and Hunter, the Mississippi boys, who tried to save Tevin, both of them. You have Charlie and Maria and Tiffany and Kenzie, right? And so if I'm Q, who just told Maria that, hey, Tiffany, my number one was targeting you. And in addition to that, she has an idol. I think that there's a lot more trust probably between Q and Maria. If I'm him, that's probably the first place I go to see if I can pick up that pair before Tiffany and Kenzie do. And then on top of that, you know, I'm looking at the trio of Ben, Liz, and Venus as kind of the other more so free agents who are not locked in with any of the pairs.
Yeah. Did you watch the secret scene with Ben or no? Did you catch that?
I did not catch it. Which one?
So it was, I'll explain it for anybody because I don't normally talk secret scenes, but this was actually like wild to me because it was edited.
I had them. Is that Canadians don't have access to the secret scenes. We have to get them from like other people to like screen record them and send them to us.
Even though this was on Entertainment Weekly, you still wouldn't be able to get access?
Everything is geocached because the video link was to YouTube, which is only for America. So it's hard for us to get secret scenes out here.
Wait, where are you in? You're in Toronto area, right?
Vancouver, West Coast.
You're in Vancouver, so you're Western. So you got to like make the trip over into Washington every time. You know, you're gonna have to do that just so you can watch secret scenes every Thursday morning. You go to like a little small dive cafe. There's gonna be Caleb sitting there just scrolling through everything, catching up on all his Survivor content. I like this idea.
So you're saying about
the so band. Anyway, yeah. Now that I'm distracted for some reason, I don't know why. I thought you were in the Toronto area, but anyway, Ben wakes up. And or whatever happens, and he's talking to Maria. And this was clearly like the last scene cut from the show. Because like I said, there was music, there was post, there was color correction. This was all there. So this probably got cut for like, I don't know, extra 3 minutes of hide and seek. So it could be relative to the story that we're watching.
He's great. Yeah.
Yeah. He says to Maria, you know, whatever happened with Tim, I'm concerned. Like, you know, I feel, and he's talking about how he feels like he lost his best buddy. And Maria's coming at him going, so what's up with the idol? What happened with the Beware Advantage? I know you have it. And he's like, I don't have it. This is not something. And she's really pressing him about it. And she's getting confessionals talking about how she thinks he has it. She thinks he's lying. Like she is going in. And then the end, like Ben is crying in his confessional and he's talking about, you know, I feel like I'm back in the day and people aren't going to believe me. And I just wish that people would trust me. And I missed him and whatever. And then at the end of that scene, he's sitting on the beach alone and Charlie comes up behind him and Charlie puts his hand on his shoulder. And he's like, what's going on? He's like, dude, it doesn't matter. I'm telling the truth, but nobody's going to believe you anyway. He's crying through this whole thing.
Yeah.
To me, for that, first of all, to not make the final edit, that tells you so much about the trio of Sega that I feel like we do want more. Like, where does Ben fit with that? Totally. But also, like, is Ben looking for an alternative to Maria and Charlie at this point? Because Maria was coming at him. She was so confident that he had this and was really playing that. Obviously, we all know it's not the case, yeah. But what do you think?
Well, I'll start by saying this. If I'm Maria, I probably am assuming the same thing. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm Sega and I know that Sega has an idol and I'm looking at Moriah at Murgatory, if she had an idol, she would have played it, right? Charlie's my legitimate number one. I have so much trust with him. If he has it, I feel like he maybe would have insinuated it to me. I don't have it. Then you start to look back. Tim obviously probably would have played it at that 6-6 vote, right? Mm-hmm. So you start to think, okay, does Jem really have it? Does she, or does Ben have it? This guy who's kind of quiet, who's you know, winning games of hide and seek. She probably read into that in some way, right? And so I, if I'm her, I'm probably, that's what I'm probably thinking. So it sucks because, you know, it's just the calculus that you're playing on Survivor. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're having to read into information. Sometimes those are wrong reads, right? So if I'm Ben, I mean, like, Ben is really like between the fact that he's close with Charlie and he's close with Kenzie is what it looks like. Right.
Yeah.
And so in terms of like where that free agent goes, you have to feel like likely, you know, that he probably goes with one of those two sides. The other person who I would really like is I thought it was interesting that Liz pitched, Maria and Ben on getting out Tevin. Because I don't know where Liz fits into all of this. Is that her closest people now? Like, what do you think?
Well, so what confused me about it, you can still hear me. I just took my headphones out, so I just want to make sure I'm coming through clear. Good. What confused me about the Liz thing is we have shown her having no control over anything. She's talked no strategy. She's talked nothing. Like, she has been there to give her a biting clip about money every now and then. That's it. That's all we're getting from her. So for all of a sudden, her to get a little bit more screen time in this episode and it to be, I want to drive this vote and this is how I'm going to drive it. And then that is the actual outcome.
Yeah.
Like, what in the world does Liz have pull? Is that what I'm understanding here? Because Q and Hunter were clearly trying their best to save Tevin.
Yeah.
I think that Venus probably would have gone along with anything, even though I think she would have preferred Tevin in this situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Venus is, yeah, it's going to be more excited with how these last couple of votes have gone, you know?
Oh, yeah. Soda yeah. and Tevin, like, this is Venus's dream come true. But yeah. I was surprised that Liz brought this up and everybody was just like, yeah, this is great. Yeah, Liz, let's go do it. Because we've seen her, and this isn't anything at Liz, but from what the edit has said, Liz has been viewed as a joke on mm-hmm. this show. She has not been viewed as a contender.
Yeah.
But she's now, all of a sudden,
she's saying, not like a player. Right, is how she's been. It looks like she's being perceived by the other players. 100%. Yeah, just to agree with your point.
Yeah, no, and so go ahead. I mean, so what do you think with Liz right now?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, the question is like, you know, not to take any credit away from Liz, because you know how much she hates that, right? Mm-hmm. But I looking at the game, you know, there's a confessional that Charlie has right before the vote. Where he says, you know, if it's his preference that he wants Tevin out because he organized the Soda vote. Maria obviously probably was leaning more towards Tiffany going out. Mm-hmm. So it just speaks to me, and this is probably the second or third time I've seen it in the game, even when I think back to the Jem vote, right, where they could have taken out Ben or they could have taken out Jem, where Charlie seems to be getting his way a little bit more in this pair, right? Mm-hmm. Not trying to take out Tiffany, say, Brian. I really thought when they learned about the idol, like, it is, that is so tempting to take out Tiffany if she has the idol there, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have to feel like, you know, as much as Liz definitely pitched and was a big proponent of getting out Tevin, I think that Charlie was also probably equally or a big part of that Tevin vote and blindside that happened in the episode, which is why it went through. Because I don't know how much sway Liz really has besides saying, I'm not moving, right?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's just weird. I mean, I try to look from the edit perspective the entire time, and people don't like that all the time. But like, I try to watch the edit and then figure out, okay, what was the actual plan within the edit? And for the edit to give the credit to Liz over Charlie, like, I agree with what you just said 100%. Mm-hmm. But from what the edit showed me, it was Liz said this, Liz's move. And I'm like, what? Liz, like, who is, like, my dad calls me after and goes, who is Liz? Like, what is
that? Yeah, I thought Liz got voted out at the merge. Yeah.
That's what everybody's been saying. I do, like, did you see the, you know, like, with the, what is it? The guy with the scythe, the death guy with the scythe, and he's knocking on the door.
You know, Grim Reaper? What
was that? Oh, the Grim Reaper. Why could I not think of the Grim Reaper? Okay. Yeah, this is what you're going to deal with for the entire podcast here without Will to yell at me. So, but it's, you know, that meme of them going to each door, and in the door, it was like, you know, it's Jem. And then the next door, it was the picture of Liz instead of Mariah. And then the next door was Soda, Tim. Like, it was all of them. They had Liz's picture there instead of Mariah. So I honestly think a lot of people do think Liz, they're like, who is this? What is going on? I don't understand.
Yeah. That's kind of where I'm leaning right now. Like, I appreciate how Liz wants to have some sort of kill. She wants to kind of reframe herself as not just a vote, but somebody who's going to dictate, be a player who's making moves in the game. The only problem I have with the last two people that she voted out is that, you know, it does kind of paint you into a corner because you're not part of one of the actual tightest core alliances in the game. Those conversations where you're not at and your allies can protect you and say, let's not go for this person, let's go for that person. And so that's my worry about Liz. I think she definitely has some ownership now, but, you know, at what cost? It's probably her actual agency in the game by having a say over the main votes.
Would you say Liz has a chance of winning right now in your eyes or no? And who would she have to sit next to, do you think, to pull this out?
Well, as a member of the jury, right, I can I like to look at the jury, and this is still pretty early, but it's interesting with the first couple of people. And who do we have is Soda and Tevin, right? Soda, who says, you know, Venus had the credit of the vote, and Tevin's going to come back and say, absolutely not. Venus has no credit, has no agency. Venus is the worst player. And they're probably going to have this little hate cycle of Venus, I think, in the jury house for the next little bit until someone tells them otherwise. So if anybody's in the game who doesn't want to sit Venus, like, I don't know, right? I think that's probably the number one person who you want to sit next to. And then outside of that for Liz, you know, I'm probably looking at maybe Q at this point. It's tough because he has so much of the control of the game and he's going to have a lot of ownership of the moves, but does he have enough people who dislike him by the end for being so controlling that, you know, he might actually lose the votes? Like, that's probably the calculus I'm thinking. Who would you sit next to if you're Liz?
Probably the same. And as much as it pains me to say it, because I love the man, she might be able to beat Ben right now, just based on how new era juries vote. New era juries do tend to vote for who they believe made the best game moves throughout the game. I mean, if you talk to the Survivor 43 cast, most of them like Owen the most out of that final three, or Cass. I mean, Owen or Cass, but like Owen was the one where it seemed like people really liked him, but weren't willing to vote for him. Cass, they liked her and they were a little more willing to vote for her, but then Gabler got the votes. And you can argue, maybe that's a bad example just because it's like, well, did Gabler play the best game? I don't know. It's up in the air. But if you look at like season 44, everybody, I mean, Franny's got tears in her eyes talking about how much she loves Carolyn and all that, but doesn't vote for Carolyn.
Yeah.
And your season, Jake, I mean, it seemed like, I mean, you and Jake, you still said you were going to vote Jake and you didn't do it.
Oh, I never, when did I say that?
What did you yell when you wrote it, when you were walking up to the
I yelled Jay again.
Jay, that's what it was. Gotcha. Had to make sure. But you know, it seemed like Jake tried to make the move with you, so perhaps you would vote for Jake, but still it's like, no, D played the better game.
So we're gonna I would say, and it's probably similar to Owen, you know, you like Owen and you like Jake and what they tried to do. Throughout the game, they had all the right relationships. They had the social capital to win votes, but they just didn't have the strategic moves, right? And if anything, it was constantly like the Charlie Brown football every time they were trying to make a move that was kind of working against them, because it's almost better to have no moves or not that many moves than the misses. And what I love about Jake, and I always said in the entire time on the jury house was, or the Ponderosa was, you know, Jake, great, like he's self-aware enough to be like, Reba's winning. Like, we have to do something. And is constantly trying to change the trajectory of the game and was just never able to get the soldiers, right? Mm-hmm. So I think he had the self-awareness, even with the playing the idol on Katura, the self-awareness, like, I need to do something big here in order to kind of get that ownership back. He just wasn't able to pull it off, unfortunately. And, you know, probably same with Owen, right?
Yeah. And so I could see Ben falling into that situation of everybody likes Ben, but maybe they don't see his game. Now, I do still think Ben has some time to get his game in control and to make some moves. And like, look, I would not be shocked at all at this point if we saw a Fabio-esque win from him, because this season is going in an east and west direction I wasn't expecting. I mean, he's just got me circling my head after these last couple episodes. But I think that Ben is potentially somebody Liz could beat if Liz makes some cutthroat moves from here until the finish, because Charlie and Maria might say, Ben, we like you, but she put us here and we respect that. And that might actually hurt Ben in this new era.
I think that that's a good read. I think Ben is probably another person who you may want to sit next to. And the only thing that's working for Ben, I almost feel like at this point, is that, you know, I feel like watching Survivor 46 in the post-merge, we have so many people who are making almost the wrong move or the move against their self-interest, that if you look at all of Ben's moves so far, you know, outside of having Tim go home, he's not making moves against his self-interest. And so it almost makes me think that, you know, now if he maybe gets a little bit of a grasp of where the game is, he might be able to make the right move or continue to not make the wrong move. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. No, I totally agree with you. And I actually, it makes me want to ask you this question. Who was Tevin going home the best move for? Like, whose best interest was that in? Because I agree with you 100%. Ben hasn't made moves against his best interest, but I feel like Tevin going home was against a lot of people's best interest.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. Obviously, you have the pair of Q and Hunter who never wanted him to go home in the first place, right? And Q especially should have wanted Tevin to go home. Or sorry, Tiffany to go home because of the idol information that he leaked out, right? You look at Tiffany and Kenzie and you have to think that it's in their best interest that Tevin goes home, because otherwise who's going home? Probably Tiffany.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, it's interesting in this vote. I really don't think that it was in, it's difficult, but I don't think it was in Liz's best. It was probably worst for Liz, in my opinion, that Tevin was the one who went home tonight, which was, again, her kill, but at what cost?
Maybe it's similar to, I love to use this one, Wardog voting out Kelly Wentworth when she had the idol, and then Wardog goes the next week. And it's like, you couldn't have just waited. And we had Kelly on for a podcast, and she said, did it make sense? Did it make any sense? And like, I mean, I know that they were all very close after that season. I haven't talked to any of them in a while, so I don't know what it is now. But
I'd love to ask her that question. That's so funny. I totally see that. And that's where people think, like, they're trying to win the game. But at the end of the day, you need to have the soldiers through the middle part or the next part of the game to get there, right?
Yeah. And JD here, who was a guest last week, I feel like that's the audience perception of Ben. The players keep talking about how big of a threat he is. So maybe, I don't know. I just feel like if you make the right moves and you can take credit for them, you can beat Ben, because the new era does not. And maybe I'm wrong in thinking this. Maybe you all did sit there and say, D was our favorite person, that's why we voted for her. But I feel like the new era is respecting the gameplay, because the gameplay isn't as like mean-spirited, I feel like, as it could have gotten in the 19s in Samoa and in the 20s and the 30s sometimes.
Yeah, it's interesting. At the end of the day, you could also argue the fact that Ben's playing a really great game, right? And maybe, you know, you look at some people who maybe don't, when you're sometimes, I don't want to say on the outs, right? But if you are on the outs, there's two things that you can do. You can try and gather all the stragglers, bring them in, and try and usurp the top. And that's very hard to do because everyone's in self-preservation mode at the bottom. And usually somebody's gonna, in the prisoner's dilemma, say, hey, he's trying to do this, and then get that person out on, right? And the other option is to try and work with whoever's not in the middle at the very top of the alliance. And you can get in with the top and they're looking out for you. You can get in, get some information, and then eventually be able to make a move. And in this person, you know, that Ben's probably working the closest with, I still feel like it's Charlie because of the length of time, right? And the times that he's saved or worked with Ben when he was potentially going home. And so, you know, maybe Ben's waiting in the cut and waiting to potentially be able to make that bigger move. So, yeah, you know, just like Liz, I feel like Ben is not a front runner by any means, and he could go to the end and not get any votes. But also just as likely, you know, he could still have time to be able to make the moves, because at least he has more allies and soldiers in the game. He has Charlie. He has Kenzie. Maybe he doesn't have Maria as much as we thought, right?
Yeah.
But he has a few people that he could work with. And hey, I mean, Q, he's got to look at Ben and be like, this guy will listen. You know, he's not going to go full Venus on me and try and do some other plan that I tell him, you know, right?
And I totally agree. And I think what's so fun about this season, like, because everybody always wants to make the Gabon comparison. That's what everybody wants to do. Whenever you get a kind of crazy season, it's always Gabon, Gabon, Gabon. And yeah. I said on my Patreon, I do an after show every Thursday. And I had said, this is the one that actually deserves this title. Because as you're watching this right now, I could look at this final nine and I could say, Kenzie and Ben had that one scene that night. So that could be great. Now you get Kenzie and Tiffany were pissed off, so they bring in Ben. Ben goes to Charlie. Charlie goes to Maria. There's your five. Now goodbye, Liz. Goodbye, Hunter. Goodbye, Venus. Goodbye, Q. But then you sit there and you say, well, I wouldn't mind sitting next to Venus. I wouldn't mind sitting next to Q. I wouldn't mind sitting next to Liz. So for that group of five to pair up to vote out the other four, they would have to be voting out the four, three of the four, because Hunter obviously could do some damage if he gets the final three. But voting out three of the four easiest people to beat. So is that the alliance that you actually want to make right now if you are starting to look more end game? Because it is probably the one that makes the most sense out of after everything fell.
It definitely feels solid. And sometimes in Survivor, like, you'd rather go with the solid plan than, you know, the best case scenario if you know it's going to get you close enough. I really do think when we talk about the three pairs and then the three eight free agents almost, right? That, you know, Charlie and Marie are in this just fascinating position, right? It's interesting because, like, I know in my season, you know, it was Fun and Lulu at one point because you had Emily who wanted Sabaya and Sabaya who wanted Emily. And you're sitting there and you're like, well, how do I keep both of these people in as long as possible, right? You have Bruce who wants Katara and Katara who wants Bruce. And it's like, well, let's keep this, right? Like, I almost wonder if I'm Charlie and Maria, does it behoove us where we have Tiffany and Kenzie on one side who probably want Q, and Q who knows he screwed up and probably wants Tiffany, right? And Hunter, that, you know, you sit there and you think, well, what if we got rid of one of these free agents? What if we keep this animosity built and going so that way later in the game, we have more options to really turn them against each other? You know, that's what I wonder could happen here. But that's really big brain thinking. Like, do you think that they would be open to, or what do you think? Or do you pick a side and you ride with that side and you take out the biggest threats on the other one?
You know, this might be the season that has the best Will Wall strategy. Yes, I just mentioned Will Wall from Millennials vs. Gen X. That's right, everybody. That's a specialist right here. But this might have the Will Wall strategy. If I want to go back and forth, I want to go back and forth, I want to go back and forth. And he wasn't able to pull that off, and it ultimately bit him in the ass. But it's, you know, Cesternino pretty much invented that strategy in the Amazon where he go, okay, Roger's gone, I made Dina happy, then I got rid of Dave, and then I get rid of Dina. And, like, you do those things, you go back and forth. I think that this might actually make the most sense for these people, for, like, Maria and Charlie to say, look, let's maybe tell Q it's going to be Tiffany this week, and then, like, Tiffany maybe plays her idol, but we'll vote out Q. And then the next week, now Tiffany doesn't have her idol, let's vote out Tiffany. And now let's vote out Hunter. And now let's go. And, like, you're kind of going back and forth. It's a hard thing to pull off. But, I mean, either way, no matter really how this shakes up, you just said big brain thinking. I feel like either way you go, whether you stick with a five or if you go this route, you got the big brain thinking going on here, because it's not straightforward the way that they are set up right now.
Yeah. And if I'm in the new era at this point, The thing that I'm most afraid of is if I have some sort of agency and control in the game in the first half, is how does that reflect in my end game? Because if I'm at the end with, if it's, you know, us two, you know, me, Maria and Charlie, and then we have Ben, Liz, and Venus. It's five of us at the end. There's no way that those guys don't realize that, yo, Charlie and Maria have ran this entire thing, right? Yep. So you kind of want to keep some of these bigger threats and shields around. And you have awesome shields who hate each other, right? Yep. You know, I do think that for them, and I don't, you know, this would be so much fun if we can drag this out. But if those two decide, hey, you know what's the best move for us right now is, I think Hunter's still, like, the lowest hanging fruit. I think that was probably, unfortunately, his worst episode of the season. The last one, the tree climbing and the pole, you know.
But he won hide and seek. What do you mean? How could that be a bad episode? He won hide and seek.
Yeah. I mean, and maybe that's just a strategy of being like, I'm not thinking about anything besides just the physical game is what I want you guys to think, right? Mm-hmm. But if I'm these guys, you know, Hunter's going to be hard not to take out if he doesn't win immunity. But if not him, I think, like, you look at probably the free agents and probably Liz as somebody who's taking credit in some way for the Tevin vote. You know, these Nami, they love to come home and talk about how awesome their last move was. You know what I mean? But I would love to see some Liz and Venus, you know, sparring.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And since we've gotten this far, we're over 30 minutes in. Everybody like the video, subscribe to the channel. Why don't we start doing some power rankings before we forget that that's what we're here for? Because now I feel like we've talked about enough of, like, the dynamics, where they are. I feel like, you know, you got, who do we want to pit against each other? Does this make sense?
Yeah.
But I guess I didn't really ask you how you're digging. Are you liking this season, first of all? Like, come on. You haven't even said that. You got to tell me. Are you liking it? And then we can rank.
Yeah. I mean, I'm one of those people. It's like Survivor's like pizza. It, how bad could it ever get? But the beginning of the season was a little bit long and did drag a little bit just because it felt like there was two or three episodes to get out the same people, right? Mm-hmm. And that's you know, I think 90 minutes is a great formula, but the 2 hours, and then 90s was, I think, the challenging part for it. So it was fun at the beginning, but I think this is the part of Survivor that we love. Like, we are post-merge, you know, we've entered right into like a really fun dynamic. There really hasn't been, you know, too slow of a vote here. You know, there's a lot been going on. I think this is as fun as much fun as I've had in the post-merge in the new era, besides maybe 42.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and I think it's been very good. And I'll make the weakest pitch of my life right here. For anybody who wants to know how bad Survivor can be, you know, because pizza, how bad can it be? Well, if you want the Miami, Florida version of Survivor, we are doing, for our patrons, we're doing Every Season Matters, and we just finished talking about Marquesas, which means that if we're saying Every Season Matters, we now have to spend a month talking about Thailand. So
a
if
month
you
on Thailand,
we do two episodes a week about each season. So we've gotten through the first four, and now we have to do 4 weeks on Thailand. The first episode drops tomorrow. We're talking about the casting choices. If you want to listen to that, if you want to hear somebody talk about Thailand, Will, Blake, and I talk about Thailand for at least 15 minutes an episode. We tried to drag most of them out to 20. Marquesas, we were struggling to stay under a half hour. Thailand, we were struggling to hit 15. But go ahead, become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist, and see just how bad Survivor truly can be. What do you feel about Thailand? Caleb, you had quite a reaction.
I watched Thailand, and in my head, I'm not a huge fan of having to lie about your jobs coming onto the show. And, you know, sales is one of those ones that might be like, should you not? And I wasn't going to do it. And then I went and watched Thailand, and I thought to myself, you know what? If this guy comes in as a used car salesman, what do I have to be worried about? Nothing. And then the whole Cody and Justine fiasco happens, and I switch it at the last second to go into sales and marketing. You know,
there you go.
Yeah.
I dude, the used car salesman. Yeah. I love talking Brian Heidick. I'm not saying I love him as a person, but I love talking Brian Heidick. And we make some claims about Brian Heidick during this series here that I'm very excited for people to react to, because it's just Brian Heidick, man. Thailand's a thing. All right. Let's get back over here. Now that I got you to say yes, it's starting to find its groove. Who do you have as your top ranked player this week?
You know, right now, top ranked player that I have is Charlie. I think that he is going to be in the power position, you know, deciding which side that they want to go. You can misplay the middle, don't get me wrong. But I think with the amount of confessionals that he's had as well, talking about the game, that I just feel like, yeah, I'm a little bit more worried about Maria than Charlie. You know, if some sort of ricochet vote, something happens, that it could be her. So that's why I put Charlie as my number one person in the power ranking.
Yeah, I like that. And we'll I'll talk about Charlie in a little. I don't have him as high. I had him all the way down at 6 last week. I'm definitely feeling a little bit more confident than that in him this week. JD, I know he's listening, so I got to give a quick shout out to JD. If I could flip birds here on the podcast and feel good about myself, you'd be getting one, JD. I already told you this, but you talked me into putting Tevin at number 3 after I had him at number 5. So that totally screwed up my power rankings last week. Will is now beating me. He has 84. I have 82. And then the rotating Survivor guest has 81. So Caleb, you can make some moves this week. I just wanted to throw that out there so that everybody knew this. And then the leader right now of our patrons playing is Logan D'Souza at 91, and Caitlin Mink has 88. Actually, Alex Trias is in first. He has 95. So those are your top 3 people. So just wanted to say all that. No. I like Charlie.
Yeah.
This might sound a little crazy based on the fact of how last episode went, but I am going to put Tiffany back at number 1.
Wow. Interesting. Tell me why.
Well, so my reasoning is Tiffany ever going to be more alert to playing her idol than she is in the next 24 hours?
Fair.
There's no way. Like, she just had this whole situation go down, and she now hears Charlie tell her this. Now she knows Charlie knows. If Charlie knows, she probably knows Maria knows.
Yeah, Kenzie, she said that she called Charlie and Maria when she spoke to Kenzie.
Yeah, so that's at least 5 people on the island, because Q's there. So 5 of the 9 people know that you have this idol, including yourself. But still, that's more than half.
Which you might. At that point, it's leaking everywhere, right? Like, there's no way in 2 days that everyone doesn't know.
And I think she's probably going to come back to the camp after this this tribal council and say, Q, what are you doing? And maybe call him out in front of everybody the way we saw Venus do to Tevin. if that happens, Tiffany might just play her idol just to play it at this point, just to get it out of her pocket. They would have to convince her that she is so safe and that she should feel so comfortable. And the problem is with how this has shook out, four or five people are going to have to convince her that she is so safe. And she knows Kenzie is on her side. So let's say Charlie and Maria were to say, we're going to pull one over on Tiff. Who do they need? They need Ben. Well, they go to Ben and then Ben turns around and goes to Kenzie. Kenzie's going right to Tiff. Tiff is safe. Mm-hmm. I think Tiffany is on such high alert this week that if she doesn't play the out, look, we saw Bruce do it last season and maybe Bruce couldn't even explain why he didn't do it.
Poetic.
Poetic. Maybe Tiffany doesn't play the idol if they really convince her, but I think she is just too sharp, and I think she is just on her interest in everything. Her sensors are going off. She is scared, and I am saying Tiffany number one.
You know what? It's fun doing this exercise. Don't think that Tiffany's necessarily going home either. I agree with you that her radar is on, and it's almost to the point now in Survivor that if you have a public idol or a public thing, that you're better off burning it and playing the game and not having that additional target on you than otherwise. So it's almost in her interest to just burn it no matter what anyways, this vote. But I do think that probably the scariest pair strategically in the game right now is Charlie and Maria, the two people who know about her idol. And so if there's anybody who's probably has the capacity to pull a blindside on Tiffany, that this would be the only, like, the pair in the game to do it. And so that's where I don't have her. Should I say where I have her?
If you have her in two, otherwise I'd wait, you know, wait a little. I mean, you know,
I'll wait a little bit. I do not have her in two. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Wait a little. We'll go down the line and you can talk about it when we get there. But I do want to mention this, which I think, you know, just to speak to the strength of Maria's game, even if she might not get any, she might not be getting much screen time, but there's a lot of strength to Maria's game. And I want to speak
absolutely
on this.
Absolutely.
She's gotten, first of all, she has a confessional in every episode except one. So she's still getting confessionals. It's just, you know, not a lot, but she said she wanted to play her extra vote at the gem vote because everybody knew she had it and she wanted it out of her pocket. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the fandom, a lot of the community said, what? That doesn't make sense. What's going on here? Why did Tevin's name come up last week?
It was a part that he could flip it on everything with his extra vote.
With his extra vote. It was obviously they were concerned. Oh, he's trying to take credit for this. He's King Tevin. But Liz, everybody knew about the extra vote and they said, why give him this much power? Let's get rid of him. So Maria was thinking about that kind of thing. Just burn it. Just burn it. It's not actually helping you. Tevin might not have gotten a target on his back had he burned that, or had he said he could use it for somebody to like somebody else's advantage. He didn't seem like he wanted to make that very communal, and that definitely hurt him. So I think Tiff could do it, but I do understand what you're saying. Charlie and Maria could convince her, run a little circle around her because right now she's on edge. But then they convince her, no, you're good. And
I don't think she's going home either, but I wouldn't feel so confident to put her at the top only because I think that there is some percentage chance of that happening.
Yeah. Who do you have it to?
The other half. So even though I feel a little bit better about Charlie, I have Maria number two. I think that that's the team that's going to be able to dictate where things are going to go right now. And I think that, Maria has the additional benefit probably, you know, Charlie right now, probably Q's biggest blind spot in the game is Charlie is what it looks like. He doesn't think he has the killer instinct or is going to flip everything where he definitely could. But I think, Maria has probably, she has Q, who she has a great relationship with the Tiffany information that leaked through. She is the six, she has Hunter, right? She has Charlie. I think she just has a lot of her probably the most outreach out of anyone in the season right now that I think that, she has the likelihood to hopefully have the information to see the bigger picture and know where to go. So I have Charlie and Maria together as, you know, my top two.
What do you think it would take for the others to target either Charlie and Maria this week?
What would it take? It's a great question. I mean, I look at it as, it would probably have to be like Charlie and Maria would have to screw something up. Mm-hmm. They would have to be like blatantly, you know, trying to like position people against each other, probably early in the episode, say no to a proposal, you know, that was pitched to them in the first few hours, and make people think that I have to flip away. I would probably say the biggest challenge for them was probably Q deciding, you know what, we need to get out one of these two in the middle, and I'm going to be the one to do it, and just, you know, whipping votes like he's in the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my guess. What do you think?
I don't know, because I feel like this is a cast that is playing personally. Like, when they get pissed at somebody, they want to vote out the person who pissed them off. That's who they want to go for. And I feel like that's going to mean Q. I think Venus might have actually like taken a little bit of a target off her back. Although Hunter did say, why can't we just vote out her? Maybe, yeah. Venus, but like Liz, I don't know. I just feel like because people are playing this season very personally, what have Charlie or Maria done to make anybody hate them personally? The only thing it could be is if Q, like you said, goes and says something, because Tiffany is going to say, Q, why'd you tell them about my idol?
100%.
Which then Q is going to say, who told them? The only one I told was Charlie and Maria.
Cancel Christmas. Exactly.
Cancel Christmas. But can Q figure out then how to compile the votes when nobody else personally dislikes Charlie or Maria? It seems like they're all playing so personally. Now he has to not only get the information and convince them, look, they're playing really good, but now he has to be able to convince a bunch of other people, hey, because I told them about Tiffany's idol, we should vote them out because they're not trustworthy. Like, that's not a good pitch.
No, 100%. It's and like, where are they going to go? Are they going to go to Ben, who's close with Kenzie, close with Charlie, right? Are they going to go to Venus, who I think is, that was in the preview, and it's probably one of the conversations I'm looking forward to the most in the next episode, them trying to bring Venus in and her being like, I'm not stupid, I'm not blind. You know, that's how I feel. I don't think that she's going to be like enamored by like these meat shields, you know, and their ability to pitch. Especially after like Hunter was like, you know, Venus, get out of here. We want to talk to these people without you. Right. I don't really know the path. It'd be difficult. It's possible. Q's one of the only people who would literally like, you know, like almost like Russell hands, like go person to person and pound people to the point that they maybe would flip it. So, you know, I would never take that away from Q. I don't see it likely happening.
I just have to say, I had to rub my face and just smile, because when Venus walked over to that group and tried to get in, they told her to go away. And she said, well, you have like 5 minutes, and then walked up. Like, where has that been in the new era, man? Like, I get, like, I'm not one of the people who's going to sit here and complain about every single casting choice they've made, but you need this Venus type of just like, I don't care. You've been mean to me, so I'm going to be horrible back. Like that moment, she wasn't even being horrible there. That's a bad word, but like, it was so Sandra-ish, right? Of just like, screw you, I can get loud too. That's what it felt like, of you're not in control of this. I have control too.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was beautiful.
It reminded me of like, I don't know if you watch any like NBA, like someone's shooting free throws, and then a coach will be like, hey, to his team, and get them standing in front of the bench while they're doing it. And then like the point guard will run into that huddle because they can't stop them and just sit there and just wait. Like, it was awesome. My dream state would have been if she just sat down and said, I'm not leaving. But
it would have been great.
Oh, it would have been so good. But yeah, love Venus and just kind of being like, I don't care if this is pissing you off, because this, like, I'm going to say what I'm going to say anyways. Right.
Well, And that's the biggest thing. Like, when you look at how Venus handled the situation, like Jeff had that soundbite on Rob Sesternino's podcast before all of this, where he said he doesn't want to cast more villains. But I don't even view Venus necessarily as a villain. I just view her as willing to be confrontational, which I do feel like in, you know, not saying that you guys aren't willing to be confrontational, but I do think that some of the people who they're casting are more willing to like sit back, take a beat, say it in a confessional, and then go, what's my best approach? She's just like, nope, I want to blow this up. It needs to be blown up. We're blowing it up. Let's drop the bomb. Boom, done. Get out of here. It's great. It's amazing TV.
It's great. And it kind of does remind me of Jake from my season, where, you know, Jake was like, he like being fed like, hey, just do this. And he was like, well, why would I go with your plan and basically have no agency at the end of the game? And he's like, you may look at me as a goat, but I'm going to be kicking and screaming and making your lives miserable if you're just going to try and take me there. You know, I'm going to try and do something else. And that's how I feel about Venus. You know, I think, you know, even with a lot of the right reads, she doesn't have the agency right now, and nothing's stopping her from really just sending it. I'm sorry. Can you give me one sec?
Yeah, no worries. You're all good.
I'm going to need to switch rooms here.
No, you're all good. All right. So I will then take over right here, everybody. Remember to like the video, subscribe to the channel, do all that fun stuff. Not Batman Hair is doing a great job. So I hope you're enjoying this Caleb episode, everybody. So make sure you're doing all that stuff. You good?
Yeah.
All right. Everything's good. I will do my two, and I'm copping out, man. I'm sorry. I'm going Hunter. I'm just doing the idol people. I'm just doing it. Look at, he's making faces. So, okay. I'm curious when we get to Hunter on your ranking, why you have him so low. But here's my thing. He just lost his number one ally, and he has an idol. As far as I know, there is no idol nullifier on this season. We haven't seen it come up in conversation. We haven't seen it pop up. If he loses the immunity challenge, I think that was a massive, massive wake-up call to him of, Tevin went home, you tried to swing it, it didn't work, at the live tribal, nothing went in your favor, you just lost your closest ally. Venus wants you out, Liz is probably looking to vote you out at some point, and everybody can come to agreement that if you can do that crazy move that he pulled on that poll that made Jeff Probst almost crap his pants, because Jeff could not, Jeff is watching him do that and going, here's the lawsuit. Finally, Survivor's going to get hit with a massive lawsuit. But why would you not vote for him? And I think with his idol, I think he is so worried about being voted out. We saw him almost play it at the tribal where Tim went home. I think that he will play that idol. So I am putting the two idol people at the top because I think they're both, you had an opportunity to get rid of them, one of them last week. This week, it's a little bit trickier now because they are on high alert. And also, Caleb, you're a pretty athletic guy. Could you do what he did on that poll?
I will say this from just watching the show, somebody who's done a few of these competitions. Hunter is the real deal. I think he's probably the best competitor since Jonathan in Survivor. Like, I think he's that big. The fact that that poll challenge, I did that poll challenge against Dee and Kelly, who were, you know, smaller girls, easier to get their foot into their toes into the little footholds that are like a record small length right now. You know, they have less weight to hold up. Hunter cleared everybody else in this thing, cleared them by miles, you know. Like, he's a freak. And he's also, I think, strong at the puzzles as well. You know, what was your question? Sorry.
Oh, I was just asking, can you do the thing he did on the pole where he then went upside down and then lifted himself back up?
I'm not a trapeze guy. I don't have any of this stuff. I would like to think that I would try it. I would honestly be too worried about a head injury if it doesn't work and I fall down, right?
Here's the thing. And this is, you see the panic in Jeff's face. I mean, this was panic like when Lauren O'Connell passed out back in Edge of Extinction in that one challenge when she went down, or when Joe Anglin passed out in Second Chance, all that stuff. When you see him do this, he's still like three notches up. Like, he's still a solid 10 feet off the ground. If he falls, he's landing on his neck, but he's that confident in his physical ability. Like, Jeff's probably wondering, do we need to get a net over here? Like, how is this guy getting out of this situation?
And on top of that, you think like, this isn't like, oh, you know, I just like had a good meal and I got a stretch in, I'm doing this. It's like, this is at the end of the challenge. Like, do you think like how much longer could he have stayed up there? He was not fried at all, you know,
at all.
He was like, he had this in the chamber because he was like, you know, if this is going to go 2 hours, I'm going to pull up this move and have an extra 15 minutes of hang time here. You know,
dude, I ate like 4 slices of pizza last night, got up this morning and power washed my driveway. And when I came inside, my hands were like stuck and I'm getting like cramps in my wrists and stuff. Yeah. And I'm eating fine. I'm sleeping fine. I'm in air conditioning. Everything's great for me. I have no idea. Do you think that's going to hurt him though? Like, if you're watching that, are you impressed or are you saying shit, as soon as he loses, we got to vote for him?
100%. Like, Hunter's got to go. I mean, that is one of the most, the biggest displays I think I've ever seen of, you know, challenge dominance to do that at the end of this. Like, literally Q sitting there, he's like, why didn't you guys freaking like drop out for rice? Like, you're literally competing against Tarzan. Like, this guy does hide and seek climbing for fun. Like, what are we talking about here? Hunter's the real deal. I guess I'm surprised by him being so high, only because I feel like I had a really good train of thought here. But you know what? It's just he's one of the people with the idol. But if you think about it, okay, I got my train of thought back. The same problem with Murray and Ben. I feel like she's doing the math and she's thinking Ben's probably the one who has the idol at this point. You look at who's left from his tribe on Nami. I mean, obviously the people who are voted out, you have to assume that they don't have it, right? Venus, the way that she's been probably panicking a little bit with her name out there and like always being the other vote, like the fact that she hasn't played it yet is probably making you think that she doesn't have it. So it's probably Liz or Hunter. Are you really sitting there and being like Liz has outmaneuvered Hunter and has the idol? Like, you probably think that he has it. And so I think that, you know, if, again, people are worried about Hunter, like, that's going to be, like, the number one person we're trying to blindside. He should burn it no matter what. If he doesn't win immunity, especially after the last episode, especially with his ally going home, he should. And I have him relatively high, but I don't have him quite yet because, you know, I do think that just like with Tiffany, if you think that somebody has the idol, you know you're going to blindside them. And so there's, like, that 5%, 10% chance. I think there's someone who's even safer than him before that.
Yeah, and this is no knock on Tiffany or Kenzie, because I do think that they're both playing great games. But if Hunter were to win this season, it would be one of the most dominant performances. Like, because I can't call Tiffany and Kenzie a dominant performance just because they lost so much pre-merge, right? Like, they're playing a great game, and they're playing dominant social games. But because they lost that, it's like they had to keep going. They had to keep doing that. And that might look flashier, and that might be better for an audience to say, oh, they should have won. But that's the whole argument of, like, Michelle versus Aubrey, right? Of, like, early in the game, then as it got later, who was making the moves that needed to be made, who was saved twice by medevac, you know, all that fun stuff. So when I look at Hunter, they didn't lose an immunity, or they didn't lose an immunity challenge in the pre-merge.
Yeah.
Then he gets to the next phase of the game. And he's able to socially, or he wins, you know, the first of all, they win the most lopsided challenge of all time, because it was like the five biggest guys, you know, going up against Charlie, poor Charlie, and all the women who actually, they competed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we had a lopsided draw. It was me and Jake with all these, all the women versus all the big guys and Kendra. Mm-hmm. But we did not compete. Come nearly as close as these guys. Yeah. Like, that was a great comeback by
it was
drive.
And but, like, so Hunter wins that, then he gets the final 12. He has the social game I don't know if that was me or you. He has the social game to save himself and not need his idol and not do any of that, which is great. Then he wins the immunity. Now he has an idol. Like, if he were to get to the end, you'd be sitting there going, this was so obvious the whole time. Yeah. Like, and Juan Mora says, how is Hunter dominant besides challenge? I don't see him calling the shots. He's not necessarily calling the shots, but, like, last week's looks bad for him because Tevin goes home, but he is doing what a player like Hunter needs to do to prove that he should get the votes at the end. And he's not playing. Like, Jonathan's social game started to fall apart so bad in the final 8, final 7, final 6, that people were actually saying, like, it wouldn't be the worst thing to sit next to Jonathan at the end.
And at least that's what we saw in the edit. Like, who knows how long it was actually falling, you know, falling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when it comes to Hunter, I don't see that happening with him.
Mm-hmm. You know, I personally think that, you know, the benefit of being on the dominant tribe in the pre-merge is the fact that you have all of your tribe members who are on the jury. So there's long-standing relationships, assuming that no one is in the final three with you, with, you know, four people, three people, if you don't include Venus, you know what I mean? That you may have some extra locked up votes in there. But I still think that in the new era, it's without being able to show that you had control socially and strategically, it's just difficult to be the one who ends up winning the show. He's done everything. He hasn't done anything wrong up until now, right? But he's having less and less soldiers. And if he goes on a 5-0 immunity run, people could get swayed, right? But if he is, you know, in it and is kind of getting, you know, other people are actually dictating who goes home for the entire jury, I do think that, you know, he could still lose to that style of gameplay, even with dominance he's shown physically.
Yeah. And again, like, my statement is, if he wins, it's one of the most dominant wins. If he doesn't win, it's going to go down as another physical threat who wasn't able to pull it out. So there's still a lot of avenues. I'm not saying I think he's going to win even. I'm just saying if he wins in this style, he's winning the Tom Westman game. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Whoever else is in that archetype.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Terry was in it, but Terry lost. So it's like, it's, you know, but yeah, it's Mike really
Holloway? Mike Holloway, is that one?
Mike Holloway is one, but Mike Holloway, it was like all immunities down the stretch because he had no control. And a lot of people fault Mike Holloway's game for that, but it's like he did what he had to do to get to the end and win. And it was physically dominant, even if it wasn't necessarily like the most socially dominant. There's different
ways. I'm understanding now, Phil, your most dominant player ranking, and like what is the highest hierarchy is just being so good physically.
Well, no. So that's just, I think that Tom is just a different level. Actually, I think the most dominant first time game, like of any winner, most dominant first time game, I think is Todd Herzog. And he did not have the physical capacity in that season at all. And that to me is the most dominant first time win ever in the history of the show. I think he just did everything he was supposed to.
Interesting. Well, that if you ever have put that podcast out, I'm excited to listen to it because I don't know if he would be my most dominant first time, but I'd be interested to hear the case for it, you know?
Maybe that's an off-season idea. Caleb, I'm writing it down. Most dominant. I know. And now Peridium's listening right now, and he's going to throw together a 15-minute video that's going to blow our views out of the water. Thanks, Peridium. Love that. But yeah, Todd, that's my go-to if you were to ask me that question, for sure. But all right. Somehow, man, we're at an hour, we're two in, we're chilling, we're not even at nine yet. That's how this goes, though. This is what we do here. Who do you have at three?
So the next person that I have right now is Kenzie. I think looking at Kenzie's game and like where she's positioned right now, I think that she's probably done the best job of like, a really good job of pulling in outside people of her alliance to having individual relationships with them. Don't think she's seen as this big strategic player outside of, Banu saying that she's the mastermind, right? In episode two that went back to their time with some gossip. I just feel like Kenzie, like her biggest issue is that if everybody's piling on Tiffany and Kenzie's the ricochet vote, right?
Yeah.
But I think that you're probably more likely to see Tiffany potentially blindsided than them having like a 7-8 person, split tribe with the amount of relationships that Kenzie has on the outside. I just think her threat level's low and she has other people in the game who would be happy to kind of roll with her for a little bit. There's no need to blindside Kenzie right now. And that's why I have her next.
I really like your point though, of if they all want to get Tiff, but then they're concerned Tiff has the idol, which she does. And everybody now knows it. It's not a concern. It's a fact. And so they say, okay, well, if Tiff plays it, let's split the vote and just have the two of them out on an island. Kenzie is the next, she's the next logical decision there. And all it might take is one or two votes for her to go home. What I am appreciative of, and we saw, I know they didn't see the situation with Jay Maya in your season.
Yeah.
So they can't, it's not like they learned from Jay Maya's mistake, but I really believe that what these players are doing is kind of changing a little bit of how you can start to game votes. With Tevin on the Soda vote, voted for Soda. Yeah. Or didn't vote for Soda.
Or Venus.
Yeah, he voted for Venus because he wants to make sure if some shot in the dark gets played or something. The players are thinking about the shot in the dark this season. Charlie threw his vote at Venus because of Mariah and he didn't want her to play the shot in the dark and then he goes home. I think that what's happening with that though, and we'll see what happens by the time we get to season 50. Who knows if we'll still have shot in the darks or not. But you now can I agree. But you can almost assume that there's going to be a stray vote at these pile-on votes now. There's going to be a stray vote. So now are you able to take maybe a smaller amount of people than you thought you needed and use that stray vote to your advantage? Because you know that person's scared of that, and that could cause some massive blindsides.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting because I have a little bit of experience in my vote with everyone kind of piling onto me. But the shot in the dark being on Lulu, like we thought about it all the time, to the point that Emily was even bartering and giving away her shot in the dark to people to prove trust that way they wouldn't vote her out. We had more confidence in a plan. But to be honest, people just didn't think it was going to happen in my vote. Like, what are the odds, that it would happen now after it being so unsuccessful for so long? And even though we had so many people who knew I was playing the shot in the dark, didn't work out that way. I do love that people are playing with that in mind. I just feel like if you look at the votes right now, if we're at the final nine and we're talking about a split vote on Tiffany and Kenzie, it's a 4-3 split and they have two votes themselves. Like, they really just need to flip one or two people. So splitting votes is just so tough at this point in the game, that I just feel like it's probably like it's much more straightforward to work with them and either blindside Tiffany or target someone else. And that's why I don't think it's likely that Kenzie will have the votes. That's why I have her number three. But that is the that's where I have her for right now.
Yeah. No, I get you. And my three and four are quick. I'll do my three and four because I do have Charlie and Maria. So, you know, after we get past the idols, this is where I go. I go exactly where your mind was on your one and two, Charlie and Maria. I don't know why people would go after them. Maybe Q tries to, but I feel like Charlie and Maria have more allies than Q. And I don't think Q can go and he can try to make whatever pitch he wants to make. But Tiffany and Kenzie are going to be done with Q. And that means Tiffany and Kenzie, that's two. Charlie and Maria, that's four. They need one more person to ensure it's not them who go home.
The only benefit that they have is that Tiffany's already been side-eyeing Maria. So if it's other, it would be like, hey, do you actually want to get your biggest threat in this game? And that would be the pitch, but I don't see it happening either. And actually, my next two are actually going to be relatively straightforward as well, because they are Hunter and Tiffany in that order. I think Hunter is most likely going to be the one who plays his idol, if he doesn't win immunity. Just because, you know, he's smarter than that. He knows exactly how big his threat level is. I think Tiffany's the person who's most likely out of the two to get blindsided with the idol in her pocket. But I still don't think that that would be the case. So I have them both here. And now this is where the fun begins. Because who's left in the four? This is where, okay, who do we think, right?
Yeah. And I just also have to throw one more thing in about Charlie. He can't go home the week that Taylor Swift surprisingly makes her album a double album. It's just not allowed. He cannot go home this week. You can't have the man have the greatest thing in his life happen the same week he gets voted out. It just doesn't make sense. So,
although the outro would be pretty good, I will say.
It would be great.
First one. Yeah. Phenomenal. Well, do you want me to go next on who I think is the next safest?
No, I gotta keep you there because you're at four and five. I'm gonna do my five. Here it's no shock. It's Kenzie. I mean, we're on the same page here for our first five. So this is just what it is. We're going through them. I don't have to talk more about Kenzie. We'll talk about Kenzie later. Cause I'm going to ask you kind of like who you think your winner picks are and stuff like that, but I'll save that. So, okay, go ahead. Who you got at six?
Who do I have at six? So I'm between two people for six and seven. Mm-hmm. I appreciate getting a chance to kind of shoot my shot here first, but I'll go ahead and say it. I've Q.
Wow.
Which I think would be a reach for him. Yeah. I just feel like I'm looking at Q at this point, and I'm thinking, who actually is afraid of Q? Because I think Q is becoming so obvious with his gamesmanship that I don't know how many people are going to look at him and think, we have to take out Q next versus, hey, who are the actual other threats in this game? I've really fallen in love with the idea of thinking that Charlie and Maria are going to dictate this next vote. I think that Q might have some really good trust built with Maria. And I think that you're most likely going to see one of these three people on the edge, the free agents, the people don't have advocates within the other conversations that are happening, to be the next person who goes out here. And so that's where I think that Q is probably safer right now, because I don't think he's as intimidating as a force now that his game's kind of known.
I am very surprised you have Q at six, but my main reason for that, but my main reason for it is I think Q is so all over the place.
Yeah.
That it's scary to keep him around. Even if you're not necessarily scared that he can pull the votes, you're not scared that he can beat you at the end. He is still one of those people. What he did at that tribal council, nobody understands it. Do you really want to play the game with somebody that you cannot even predict? Like, you know, think about it. Like, Caleb, you get in an argument with somebody.
Yep.
And then you're thinking about it later and you're like, all right, I'm going to make that phone call and I'm going to talk to him. You imagine how that conversation is going to go in your head.
Yeah.
And then it goes a completely different direction and you're like, oh shit, I wasn't anticipating this. That's what Q is doing. Every phone call, you could replay a conversation or pre-play a conversation 700 times in your head. Q is finding a way to be 701 every time.
Yeah, I just feel like if I'm sitting there after that tribal council, I'm like, Q essentially had a temper tantrum. He essentially like kicked his feet and, you know, made this big spectacle, didn't go anywhere. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking to myself, man, like, I want Q. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be like voting for Q at the end. And Q is this guy that if I can get on the same side with them, and I'm looking at Charlie Maria, who had this six alliance with them, I just don't think it's going to be in their interest to take out Pugh first. I think that they're probably going to look at Hunter, or I think they're going to probably look at Tiffany with her idol, or I think that they're probably going to be looking at, but they both have idols, so I don't see them going home either, right? And so I feel like after that, they're probably looking at one of those three.
One of the three wild cards. So you're thinking a wild card goes home this week. The wild cards aren't going to be able to find their way in. Okay, so I am going to this is hard. These last four, because it's Ben, Liz, it's Venus, Q.
Yeah.
These are really, really, really tough to rank because Liz just took her shot and nailed it. But from the edit perspective, I'm sitting there going, okay, Liz kind of, you know, she's expendable, air quote. She was just player of the week last week. I mean, everybody voted for her to be player of the week. So there you go. You have Venus, who is like not to the level of Q where I'm scared of what Venus is going to do. I do feel like Venus is a little bit more predictable, which is beneficial for her to this game. You have Ben, where I don't really have much of a reason to put him at the bottom. And then I have Q where I'm like, am I going to be punching myself or kicking myself later when I sit here and say, why didn't I just put him at the bottom? It was so obvious the whole time.
I know. That's the risk here for sure.
Caleb came in with the hot take. So now I feel like I don't have to. Now I can take it safe. I can take it easy. I am going to put Ben at six. The secret scene scares me, but I just feel like if you're looking for somebody that will be willing to work with you, it's Ben. He lost Tim. That hurt him a lot more. They were a lot closer than the edit showed us. Tim said in his exit press that Ben was his number one, not Maria. He just didn't want to reveal that to everybody else. He wanted to keep that hidden. That's a big deal. And then
it was his biggest mistake of the game as well, unfortunately for him.
It was. Absolutely. Yeah. And then he has the Kenzie situation and Kenzie and Tiff. I don't think Hunter cares about Ben. Hunter's not looking at to Hunter. Ben is so non-threatening. Even if Ben could beat Hunter at the final three, that is Hunter's blind spot. He cannot see how somebody like Ben could beat him at final three. So I'm going to put him at six because I think it would take a lot for people to turn around and say, it's got to be Ben this week. It has to be. Like, no matter where people are looking, Ben's not who the eyes are going to. I feel like Ben is the eyes of, let's get him to play with us. That would be nice.
Yeah.
So
I think you're finally onto something here because I have Ben next as number seven. So I think we are aligned in terms of how we're looking at this. I think that if we're talking about like where Ben fits in, I think he's found his way into two of the core group, the two of the pairs through Charlie and through Kenzie, that I think when we talk about like who are people looking to target, and who will stand up for you in the conversations that you're not there for? You think about the merge feast, right? And it's like, man, if you don't have your an ally there who's going to say, let's save this person or pitch another name, you're stuck. And that's where I look at this. I think Ben's going to have a few people who are going to even 50% or 60% advocate for him in the way that other people won't, who are left to be picked from. So that's why I have Ben number seven. And you know, just because he's vulnerable to go home doesn't mean he has no chance to win, but that's just where I see him in terms of the power ranking for this.
And I'll finish mine because people then can wait for yours. You know, that's where the drama is let's wait for Caleb's, not let's wait for Phil's. They all hear me talk enough. So that's not where the fun is. So at number seven, I have Venus actually, right? A little surprising, but I actually think that Venus made it past the couple votes where keeping Venus may not have been the best move. And now she's into the part of the game where keeping Venus probably is the best move. And I think Venus just got two things in a row that went the way she wanted it to go. She's on cloud nine. She's feeling good. She's coming back. I don't have Soda. I don't have Tevin. Now if I could just get rid of Hunter. She might go after Hunter. Hunter plays his idol, and maybe his one vote goes to Venus. But I think if Hunter plays
his idol, that's a real possibility.
That is. Yeah. But I think if Hunter plays his idol, I think that he will be playing it to not. And let's say every vote went to him, he would be smart enough to know, okay, who's my actual threat here? Who should I be worried about? And I think that's where it would fall to Charlie, Maria, Tiffany, Kenzie, maybe a random. He's not going to put his one vote on Venus, even though last week he did. I think he's now past the point of, I want to get out the people who are the easy votes, and now I got to start positioning myself for the end game. At eight,
which, I have Liz. By the way,
Go ahead.
Would argue that if he's positioning himself for the end game, getting rid of Venus might be one of the better things to do, because she's someone who's always going to have his name in her mouth. And when you think about the Suri Courtney Exile Island, right? This person is in everyone's final three. So we need to get her out now before she takes one of those spots. So for somebody like Hunter, I would think that getting rid of somebody who is, walking towards the final three might be some way to take the game. And it's also not this big kill. Like, I took out Charlie, now everyone's looking at me. You know what I mean? You took out Venus. Like, this is all I wanted, you guys. You can, I'm good,
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Manny says, I've been saying that the whole time, Caleb. Yes, I also love, for anybody who's wondering if Caleb was a fan, clearly Caleb's a fan. He's bringing out all the Survivor knowledge here, man. He's got it all. Even though you were medevaced from our Survivor Second Chances game, it's still good to see that you have a lot of fun here doing this. If anybody hasn't listened to that, Caleb finally makes it and then goes out, I think right at the same spot, or like 15th or 14th or something, getting medevaced as you would, right?
It's my Survivor luck, I... I even say the Shaw in the Dark was like Lulu, like we did the classic lose immunity, win reward, lose immunity. Because just losing another one wasn't going to be bad enough. That's Shaw in the Dark. It's like, you get it just so I could go home. It's like, it was the perfect amount of cruelty is how it was.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's a great line. The perfect amount of cruelty. I like that. Yeah. You play your Shot in the Dark, you survive that, and then 75 minutes later, they're splitting you all into two tribes, and you have no time to actually benefit. I mean, what was it? It was legitimately 12 hours? Like, how long did you really have?
We still have all of our, morning hoodies on when we're going up to the challenge and after sunrise. It was early the next day, and then who do we go with? It's Dee and her two number ones, Julie and Austin, Oh, what are the odds? The two girls who I just called out the last tribal council outside of Jay, yeah? So, it happens.
Well, anyway, I'll kill mine. Liz at 8, Q at 9. I am a little concerned for Liz now. She got this, it happened, but now the Nami's, if Hunter's safe, does Venus just start saying, well, now I want to get rid of Liz? Are people now going to start to look at Liz and say she's a threat? And I can't get over the fact that she has 14 confessionals, which Q had 15 in the last episode. So I have to consider all of that, but I'm putting Q at the bottom, man. I'm just like, everybody hates Q. I don't know if you ever watched the show, Everybody Hates Chris, I never watched it, but I at least know the line. That's how I feel about Q. Everybody hates Q. We got to get this guy out of the game. It's time. Game over. Get out of here, Q. And part of it is a bad rap. What I will say I appreciate about Q is that he's doing this all with a smile on his face in real life. I'm very appreciative of that. On social media, he's great. I gave him a hard time for throwing a temper tantrum and jumping off the pole after 15 seconds because he didn't get everybody to sit out for rice like he wanted. But look, yeah. Q, it's all in love. I get it. I'm out here. I'm some schmuck who's just saying this stuff. Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. I just think, Q, man, you backed yourself into a corner. Backed yourself into such a corner. How are you getting out of this? You have no allies.
Yeah. I think that Q's days of running the entire show is probably over, but I don't think that, I still don't think that, he's my bottom person. Cause I just think to myself, after the way that the last tribal council has went, that, who is really afraid of Q at the end game? And on top of that, who's really afraid of Q's control when they think about the people who are actually potentially could flip the game on them. So that's why I didn't have Q as low as you did. It is the chalk pick, though. If you ask me 15 minutes after the episode, I probably am like, yo, Q's cooked, right?
You talked to NBA earlier. The Celtics are going to win the East. UConn just won the national championship. Sometimes it just makes sense to go that route.
Yeah. Nuggets are going to maybe win it all, right?
Yeah.
Right now, to round out my list, so I had Ben at 7. I have Venus at 8 and Liz at 9. I've teased it a few times this episode, today, but I think that Liz is the person who, finally has the kill on her resume that she can take ownership of in some way. She was kind of iron fisted with you guys can do what you want. If you guys want to vote for Tiffany, I'm still voting for Tiffany. This is what I want. I think that she has that on her resume. And I don't know who her closest ally is. Who's that person who's actually looking out for her? Maybe she's trying to work with the Seegas. I don't know how much weight that they have in her, right? And then maybe she likes Hunter. I don't really see going that far. I just think that she has the least amount of allies to really look out for her. And in this place where, you know, we have two idols and a lot in the air, I just think it's so easy to see a free agent being taken out. And I could see Charlie and Maria maybe wanting to keep some of the animosity of these two sides who are targeting each other. So that's my guess.
And I totally could see it. I mean, Liz, that's why I had her at 8. I also think Venus is a little bit safer than her. I could totally see this just being the moment. Liz took her shot. Liz got what she wanted. And then it's like, all right, Liz, but like you, Liz is easily voted out by everybody out there. Nobody is sitting there saying, no, I need Liz. I need Liz. I need Liz. It's not happening. But so that we don't gloss over her, let's talk Venus here, because I mean, we've seen so much Venus. Venus has been, you know, the chaotic energy, everything like that. You were making a good pitch for, you know, maybe Hunter does get rid of Venus because that's all he wanted. Where do you see Venus? You have her ranked 8 here, but let's say she does just keep getting by. Where are you seeing Venus? Like, what's her ceiling? Like, what's the best placement she can get?
I mean, her ceiling is a 0 vote finalist, most likely at this point. Mm-hmm. Unless something radical happens, I just feel like when you look at the jury, you know, people want to vote for gameplay, but relationships and dynamics, right, is a huge part of where people want to give respect to the game. And I just feel like she has no favors, unfortunately for her, with Tevin and Soda leading the jury. So as much as you could say that she was on the right side of these two votes, and you could say that she might be on the right side of some others and actually be pushing agendas, I just don't think that she has the people in there so far who are really going to be like, yo, Venus is actually, she did it, or she's doing it, right? I think there are people who are going to try and take away credit from her the whole time. And so that's why I feel like her ceiling is probably 0 vote finalist, even though, or yeah, like maybe a second place, but I don't think she has a chance to win.
She'd have to get one vote. Yeah, maybe you get, I was saying, I think, I can't remember if it was to Brandon on the Digging Deeper, if it was in the recap, but I was saying like Venus could be the person who sits at final 3 and it's Venus, somebody who's going to dominate, and let's say Q, or let's say Q. And Tiffany says, Q, you blew up my game. You're the reason I'm sitting over here. And she votes for Venus to finish second place. And then Q gets, like, so that Q gets third, you know, like I could see something like that happening for sure.
Yeah. But I don't think Venus has anybody who's advocating for her, but I think Venus has this like stink on her right now that everyone's looking at her and thinking, yeah, like we don't need to get up Venus, because Venus isn't doing anything that we should be worried about. She's not going to, you know, get any votes. She's not going to be, dictating plans. Like, I just think that people are not worried about Venus, which is why she's not quite at the bottom. But at the same time, no one's going to be fighting for her. And if there's, you know, chaos and we just need an easy vote, it could easily be her instead of Liz as well, right?
And I will say also, from what I'm watching, I feel like Venus is telling us that she's making these moves, but then we're getting the statements from other players saying that wasn't Venus's move. Yeah. And I think this is setting her up to get to final 3, make her case, and then everybody be like, no, Venus, we disagree. And I think also, like, David Bloomberg had a great tweet a couple weeks ago, and I can't remember it off the top of my head, but he pretty much said, like, look, Venus feels like a 0 vote finalist because it doesn't seem like she ever got to understand why she lost the game. And, you know, she didn't get to go to Ponderosa. She didn't get to do any of that. And now that's why we're seeing so much on Twitter and we're seeing so much here and there. I could totally see that being the case. And like in her mind, like what she is saying in her confessionals make total sense. It makes total sense, but that's not what the perception of the rest of the tribe is.
100%. She's an extremely smart person. You could tell she knows the show, she gets the game, but that like social component, right. Mm-hmm. It seems to be the thing that's missing for her, which is why that, you know, I gave her a lot of credit. You know, benefit of the doubt is actually probably the right word in the first part of the game where she's on Nami and she maybe just sometimes they intentionally put you in Survivor on a tribe of people who you're not going to get along with. Right. Mm-hmm. And so you think, okay, you know, maybe that just wasn't her starting group, but the fact that it's, you know, happened again at the merge, you just have to feel like there's just some sort of something that was missing this time around that I don't think is probably going to get corrected in the end game. So anyways, that's why I have Venus 8. I could see her going just like Liz, but I just feel like Liz, like, you know, if we talk about the idol, it's like it's probably Hunter or Liz that people are thinking about. If he wins immunity, it could easily be Liz, right? Who gets the votes on her to see if they flush out any idol from the Nami side. Like, I just, that's them. But, you know, like I said, Venus is somebody else. And then, you know, we could work up the power rankings. But this is fun. This is a fun exercise. I've never done this before, you know?
I'm glad you enjoyed it, man. I know Gordon Holmes has, like, the Reba 4 plus whoever taken on, like, a whole bunch of people. And I'm like, man, you know, it's like he's eating up all the guests from this season. And I'm like, when's Caleb getting over there? And then I haven't seen, I'm like, good, we get Caleb first. Good. I want Caleb on my power rankings and predictions before anybody else gets him. No, this was a lot of fun. And I gotta leave you with one last question. Who do you think is going to win the season?
Ooh. Okay. So this is the fun. I was saying to you earlier, it's the thing about power rankings. I've never done it before, but you'll talk to your friends. You'd be like, so it's probably one of these four people who could go home, or one of these three. So you're kind of hedging all the time. And that's kind of how I feel when I talk about the winner. But, you know, my winner pick up until now has been Tiffany. You know, that's what it's been. I feel like I want to stay there, you know, at this point, just to continue that that vision. But if I had to pick somebody who I've been watching the show, and this is like my new pick, you know, the other person who I would look at is probably Charlie. So those are, you know, my beginning of the season pick. And then this is the pick that would have, you know, right now, if it wasn't Tiffany. I think that, you know, Tiffany has, I think, people's respect. I don't think there's a chance that Tiffany gets to the end and doesn't have a really good chance of winning the votes of the people who are there. She has the idol. I think that idol was a big reason that the Yanu 3 was even a 3. Much like the Reba 4, having that type of shared information kind of keeps people more bonded together. You know, in addition to Q starting the 6 Alliance, she's had a lot of the, you know, the options in the game. I love her chances of making a case at the end. And then Charlie, I think, has really been... he's the most self-aware person probably of what's going on this season. Even just talk about how flimsy the 6 Alliance is while Maria is still kind of in on it, right? Even though Tim went home and everything else. I think that when you're at the final point of the game where you're making your case to the jury, the most important things to have the self-awareness and the game awareness of exactly what happened. And I think he's probably the person who can articulate it, you know, to the highest level of accuracy, which is why I think if he gets to the end, he has a great chance to win. It'll be hard for him, but he's in a great position here. You mean, this is something that you dream of, is to be at the final 9, right? With this many options and people who are going against each other outside of you, you know?
No, I love that. And I was on Tiffany at the start of the season. Then I had jumped over to Maria. And then after last week's episode, I said, maybe it is just Charlie. Like, maybe it's just a really obvious Charlie win. And we're all sitting here going, no, it's got to be this. It's got to be that. And then, no, Charlie was just the one the whole time. But it just didn't feel like, I mean, I think it's because his audition video is still playing in my head where I'm like, there's no way this kid's going to win this game. Like, there's just no way in hell. But maybe it's finally happening.
Yeah. Yeah, that is what an audition clip. Like, everyone who was on these past seasons is probably like, oh, glad mine wasn't this one, right? Where they show half of our clips, right? I mean, he's doing his thing. I mean, a lot of mad respect. I said earlier last week, I was like, how does he keep getting away with this at the 6-6 split, not getting any votes on him? Mergatory being like this obvious guy who's getting away with it. He's managing his threat level really, really well. And so I love his chances.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see it. So there you go. That's Caleb's rankings. Caleb, you got anything else you want to say about anything?
Who's the worst tribe, Yanu or Lulu?
Oh my God, Yanu. Yanu's worse.
Yeah, you think so?
I do.
They're going to finish better than us. I'm sure Brandon would have told you guys just based on sheer number of people who are still in the game, but I think Lulu might actually be finally have his first win, you know, and that's what I look at here against.
I got to raise my hand on this, right? Who lost 4 immunities in a row? It was Yanu. And here's the thing. They didn't have to vote out 4 members. That's why they're going to get better numbers than you. If Randon doesn't get hurt, Q, Kenzie, or Tiffany are not sitting here right now. And we get to the final 13 with... They might have lost that person, and then they might not be able to win that next challenge, so Jem might still be in the game. Like, if Randon doesn't get medevac from this game, there's no guarantee that Yanu even gets one person to the final 10.
And I loved Randon, and that was really, really sad for me to watch him go, because I think he, you know, was playing the game and was not necessarily in the best position, but he was making the most out of his position, right?
Yeah.
I think that... Yeah, I mean, Yanu definitely could have went the first 4. I think What are the odds? I want Lulu to get a win on this one. So, you know,
yeah, I think you got great. It.
Yeah.
It's just going to be, you're going to have to look past the numbers. The Brandos and the Brandons of the world, they're going to have to look beyond the numbers and be okay with saying, look, they finished better than seventh, but if Randon doesn't go home, Lulu is the better tribe.
Yeah. You know, there you go. So anyways, I had a lot of fun doing this and would definitely, come and hang out with the specialist crowd anytime. It's good to see some familiar faces on here as well. You know, JD and a couple other people, right?
Yeah. And thank you so much for coming on, Caleb. This was great. We'll definitely have to do it again. If anybody hasn't checked out our Survivor Second Chances 2 Brant Steel, just go watch how hard Caleb really plays Survivor to the point where he works too hard at camp, I think was the reason you got medevaced. But anyway,
I got medevaced.
That's how you got medevaced. I think you worked too hard at camp and then in the night they had to pull you out of the game. So that's how Caleb got medevaced from that. That was not by my design. That was just, you know, the way his cards always fall here. But become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. Like I joked about earlier, we are getting into Thailand, but you still get my after show. We're doing a little bit of Amazing Race content over there. Survivor Rewind, Casting Perspective, new episode coming out this week with Blake. If you like Blake, go check out the Brandon Donlan episode we did on Thursday. That was really fun. Brandon gives some steaming hot takes about Q. Got some movie stuff coming up too. So that's a lot of fun. So become a patron, think about becoming a patron. Otherwise, just make sure you like the video, subscribe to the channel, do all that fun stuff. Thank you, Caleb. This was great. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, you know?
I love it. Bye, everybody.